Good evening, everyone. We're glad to see each one who has come out this evening. Shows you have interest in God's Word. And especially as we think of youth this evening. Now, we would probably have to put Brother Harry on the upper side of the youth category by now.
Youth of old age.
Youth of old age. All right. Still young at heart. But youth is something that you only have the opportunity to pass through once. And how are you going to handle it? Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. We'd like to look at this title, the text verse here. As we think of two things here, we have a youth and we have a heart. How many of you ever seen your heart? Does somebody raise your hand? You ever see your heart? Well, the second question I have, are you convinced you have one? I am. Because if you wouldn't be here. But I find it interesting the place, the position that God has placed your heart is behind, is a lot of protection around that physical heart. Why? Because it's a vital part of the body. Brother Stephen had a major surgery here recently, and the thing that the doctors kept reflecting back to that his vital organs are very healthy. And if a person has a healthy heart, he can fight off a lot of things. Even so, spiritually, if your spiritual heart is run down, you're going to find yourself in places that you didn't think to. So that's why we want to look at the text. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Verse 23 is our key verse we want, but I thought the other ones expound a little bit on it. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyes look straight ahead. What is your goal, dear youth, this evening? What is your goal in life? I think it's very important that youth, for all people, but especially youth, keep your focus. Keep your goal in mind. Keep your look ahead. Don't live for the here and the now. As Brother Harry shared, it made me think of it. 35 years ago, when he was a teacher at Bible school, I never dreamt that I would be someday sharing in the same service that he has. And yet, God has a plan for us. And there is no place as sweet as the center and secure as the center of God's will for your life. Look straight ahead. Let thine eyes ponder the path of thy feet. Stop and think. How many of you have had your parents tell you, stop and think. You do something, and all that wasn't a wise move. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We'll break some of these down some more as we go on. Coming back to the natural heart this evening. Maybe you feel a little tired tonight. Well, you have reasons to. You probably had a long day. But the natural heart beats 100,000 times a day. Try counting them once. Pumping 2,000 gallons of blood through 60,000 miles of veins. It's a marvelous thing, isn't it? And yet we've never seen it. But I'm convinced you have one. Tonight, we're talking something much more serious than your physical heart. We're talking about something that's going to affect your destiny. Something that's going to affect you today. Something that's going to affect your tomorrows. Breaking verse 23 apart. The word keep. What do you think of when you think of the word keep? Something that you guard and something that you protect. And something that you're going to maintain. We all know, naturally speaking, your vehicles need maintenance. Various things need maintenance from time to time. But what is he saying? He said, maintain your heart. Whose heart? Yours personally. I'm responsible for my heart. You're responsible for yours. We're responsible for each other's. It's a great opportunity that we have. What is your heart? What is he referring to here when he talks in Proverbs? Your heart, your feelings, your intellect, your affections, your focus. What do you center upon? I thought about doing a little test, but I wasn't sure it was appropriate this evening. But you know, if you work with people very much, Sometimes it's hard to strike a conversation with somebody. It just seems like we can't connect, we say, with them. And yet in the same time, you're trying to figure out, what are they thinking? I remember one time very vividly trying to talk with a young man. And he was a very quiet man, a very shy man by nature. And I was trying to talk spiritual things. You might think I'm a carnal man by now. But it seemed we couldn't connect. Finally, I told him I'm a dairy farmer. And we started talking cows. And do you believe you can use cows to get to the Bible? Why, they were created back at the beginning of time. Why can't you? But we had to find a common ground and find something with interest. This evening, what is your interest? I don't know what you enjoy doing. But there's one thing I hope you enjoy doing. That's serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is what counts. What is your heart centered upon? Diligence. We have several school, those that have taught school here, I think. I don't know, when I went to school, my teacher used to tell me, if you'd apply yourself, you'd get somewhere. And I didn't know what my teacher meant, and I today probably know more than I should about that. When you have children, it kind of works that way. But when you're diligent, you put your heart to it. You put your heart, you work hard for it. You're steady, you're careful. You give it all you got. The issues of life is the last one here. What is the issues of life? It's just a general wear and tear in your work shoes. That's the issues of life. The issues of life are like the working of the heart, the mind. I would like to just briefly look at Judges chapter 14 for an example this evening. Judges chapter 14. We have a man that had a lot of potential. And when I see youth, I see a lot of potential. The future lies before them. It's never been walked. It's not been scarred. It's before you. Here we have Samson. His birth. We see his decisions he made in life. He comes to the youth bracket. Judges chapter 14, begin reading in verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath after the daughters of the Philistines. And he came and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath with the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her, for she pleaseth me well. We're not going to read the entire chapter, but we're going to focus just here briefly. Samson, it says, went down to the Philistines. He went out into the world to find his companion. He went out into the world to find his friendship. He went out into the world and he found a friend. And he said, get her, for she pleaseth me well. How could she please him well if he was a spiritual man? This evening, if you're looking to the world for companionship, you're going to end up the same way Samson did. I could tell you this evening of a young man that I knew personally who went to the 1W service program, and he ended up marrying a, may I say, a Jezebel out of kindness, but he married an ungodly woman. This man has had a hard life. They could be married between 40 and 50 years by now. But this man has found himself reaping over and over the decision that he made because he went out into the world to find his companionship. Dear youth this evening, find your companionship within the church. Those of like-minded faith, we see what happened here. Samson says, get her, for she pleaseth me well. Let's look at the characteristics of Samson. Let's go over to chapter 14, verse 12. We have Samson here, telling them a riddle. He's an entertainer. Samson's a witty man. We're going to bring him to 2014. We're going to talk about the Samsons of today. He was one that could entertain the girls, may we say. He was big. He was strong. He was a macho man. He had the answer just like that. He had a lot of things to say. He could keep the audience laughing. But the thing that people did not see within Samson's life was that great void that was there. And it shows out over and over, and we'll look at that as we go through. But Samson goes down and he gets this woman. He starts, may I say, finding his friendship amongst those people. And he finds it a little entertaining that he could outwit them and outsmart them. And he gives them a riddle. They couldn't figure it out. Oh, this woman that he was so pleased with, she comes to him crying one day and says, oh, Samson, if you love me, you're going to tell me what the answer is to this riddle. Well, I'm your wife, you know, you got to tell me. Her true character came out. That Philistine-ish attitude came right out of her. So he tells her, and what happened? It was one of his downfalls. After he told her, let's go to chapter 14, verse 19. We see Samson as a very selfish man, a very impulsive man. He didn't think before he did things, I don't think. He just acted and reacted. So, Judges chapter 14, verse 19. After they had given him the answer because of his wife, this is his reply. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expound the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Now, where is Samson? He said not long before this, get her, for she pleaseth me well. And when things didn't go well, where did he go? He ran back to mom and dad. We'll talk about that one tomorrow morning maybe a little bit. But he goes back to mom and dad. He gets mad and he stomps off for home. He beats down the highway and he's going home. That woman down there, she's a wicked person. I'm going home. And he goes home. And he starts thinking these things through. I don't know what all went through Samson's mind, but it was a pleasant thought because he had a wife that had divided loyalties. And dear youth this evening, you can't operate that way. What are your loyalties tonight? You cannot serve God and mammon. You're going to serve one or you're going to serve others, another. Even though he had slain these many people. Going into chapter 15, he comes back down and he wants to make peace with his wife. But her dad said, don't even come in here. He gave her to somebody else. And we find going down to chapter 15, verse 4, Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands. Again, here we have an impulsive man. Can you picture going out and catching 300 foxes, tying their tails together and lighting them in a dry wheat field? That was a lot of activity. He got a lot of attention. But why was Samson doing it? Because there was a void inside. He was retaliating. He was mad. He was angry. So what do you think the Philistines thought of this man by now? I don't think he was as entertaining anymore. Going over to chapter 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went unto her. That tells you how low Samson had stooped. How sad. How sad. Dear youth this evening, the road to apostasy is downhill and it's icy. And you think you can handle it. You cannot handle it. You cannot handle it. We find the story. We know the story. He finds Delilah. This man becomes deceived again. They took him, took his eyes out, and took him to the grinding wheel and tied him there. Dear youth this evening, I don't want any of you to be at the grinding wheel. That was a result of many choices that Samson had made away from God. When you turn your back to God, when you start walking away from God, there is no, you're going to think sometimes people say, I'm only going to go that far. But they don't realize when they pass that mark so often. The young man that knew was raised in a Christian home, and he was only going to have fun for a while. He was only going to do what he wanted to do. He was serving the self. He was serving the flesh. One day, driving down the road with a motorcycle, he rear-ended a dump truck. He was in eternity right now. And he's been there ever since. And he never will leave. Lost. Lost. For the pleasures of sin for a season. Samson finds himself down there grinding at the wheel. Sometimes God puts those people, those wayward people, at the position of grinding at the wheel because of His mercy. And that is why Samson was at the, grinding at the mill instead of being killed out there somewhere. Samson's walking that circle day after day. May I say, probably crying inside. That void that he had. And every day that he's grinding, he's gaining a little bit of strength. Time goes on. His hair were growing. His hair, that where his strength was. When his hair got long enough, we know the story. One day he asks the young lad, can you take me over to the pillars? And he goes over and he pulls them together. Poor Samson died with the Philistines. But thanks be to God for His mercy. He is listed in Hebrews chapter 11 because of God's mercy. Dear youth this evening, do not use Samson as an idealistic person. Use him as, I know we went across this story very, very rapidly, but you cannot play with sin and not expect to be burned. And yet so many want to do that. Now I'd like to go back to our text again. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 7. We want to look at several verses as we go through here. Mark chapter 7. Verse 21 through 23. For from within are the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. And these evil things come from within and defile the man. There is coming back to the heart. That's the first one. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. We're going to look at the heart and what it does for the body. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. For out of the heart. I can't see your natural heart this evening. I can't see your mind this evening. I can't see what you're thinking. But God knows and sees right into your heart. He knows what's there. And that's what's inside is going to come out. You can't cover it by clothing. You can't cover it by other ways. If youth bestowed upon their hearts that effort and care which they show in the many things that will fade away, they would be awarded peace and prosperity instead of disappointments and consuming anxiety. I don't know how you young men are. But there's something about young men, they think it's just about a shame to drive a car that's not shiny. At least in Indiana. I don't know how high in Pennsylvania and those, whatever state you're from. So they'll spend a lot of time out there just rubbing and rubbing and rubbing and polishing that car. Because after all, they have to have a shiny car. Now I'm not sure who they're trying to impress. But that, we'll leave that for tonight. On this side of the house, we had youth in there. We have one at home. The rest are all married. But, you know, the sisters will spend a lot of time making sure that dress fits just perfect. And by the way, that's good and balanced view. But let me tell you something. There is something much more precious than a shiny car, than a clean car. It's the clean heart. It's a body that is adorned in a meek and a quiet spirit, sisters, is of the sight of God of great price. Much more than these earthly things. Out of the heart, That is why sometimes leadership needs to tap someone on the shoulders and ask them a little bit about what's going on. Because they're looking at externals. We'll look at that at the issues of life. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. Let's continue looking at some more references. We need to keep on moving here. Matthew 12, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So what's in the inside is going to come out. The interesting thing is it comes out in such inopportune times at times, people think. But remember, there is nothing hidden in God's sight. Can you say with the psalmist, when he says in Psalm 139, the last two verses in that chapter, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Can you come to God at night in your devotional life and prayer life and say, "Search me, O God, and see if there's any sin within me, because I want to be ready to meet you should you come tonight"? Have you invited God to do that to your life? Is He that close to you? He wants to be your friend. It's your choice to accept His friendship. The second part we have here, keep thy heart with all diligence. How do you keep your heart? How do you operate diligently? Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Youth is a time when you can memorize a lot of things. There's a lot of things you can remember. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." What are you thinking about? It says, "I will meditate in thy precepts." I will meditate in the word of God. I will delight myself doing what the word of God says. And then it says, "And I won't forget what it says." When you're reading something and you're doing it, then you probably won't forget it. It's the things that I don't do is what I forget, because I'm on the older side of youth. That's what's coming on some of us. But as we exercise those things, we stay current with them. And so as we take the Word of God this evening and you meditate upon it, you read it, and you don't just take it as a fast food drive-through. You look at a couple verses and you close your Bible and you jump to bed and sleep. And you can't figure out why you can't sleep, because there's so many things going through your mind. Let God search your heart before you go to bed, and you can lay down and rest in peace if He gives the okay for it. That is the blessing of the searching of God. Effectual prayer life. Godly surroundings. Who are your friendships this evening? Where are you fellowshipping with? Your surroundings show a lot about you. I found it interesting in observing people why certain people are attracted to certain people. It's because of an interest that they share. Very seldom will you hear someone from this side talking to someone on this side about sewing, or vice versa, something that men enjoy. It's usually something that we enjoy. That's what draws us together. Hebrews 12, verse 14 through 16. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator, a profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." He was very, very casual. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. I think we could ask the oldest man here this evening, and I think he would still testify, whoever it is, that person would still testify that it still takes effort to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But the things that are behind us help to maintain our walk today. There is many a young person who was young. There is many an older person who, in their older years, may stand there and sit there and weep for what those things they sowed back there, those memories, those things that happened back there. Dear youth, Don't have those scars. That's what we're here for this evening, to try to preserve you from those tremendous scars. Because there is so many allurements out there. We live in a community, an Amish community. We have horse and buggies going past our place all the time. And to some of you don't may not know much about a horse, except he's in the front end of the buggy usually. But on a horse, they put blinds on each side of his eyes so he looks straight ahead. In fact, sometimes a horse that wants to notice too many things that actually puts something across his nose yet, so all he can see is a certain elevation yet even. The reason for that is so to put that horse into bondage, right? Those blinds give that horse freedom because he can't see the distractions out there. Young men, you're going to need this blind on each side of you because the world is going to get worse and worse as it goes away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And sisters, likewise for you, blinds on each side. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. What does it say? That I might not sin against thee. When I see someone who is failing in his moral life, one of the first questions you can ask them most times, and they will answer in a negative way, and they will ask them, how is your Bible reading and prayer? I'm kind of short on it. I believe it, because they're not underneath that umbrella of safety anymore. So when you get away from the Word of God, you're getting out on dangerous grounds. So keep the Word of God in your heart. Within each one of us is a natural tendency to please the flesh, to roam away. I realize that I'm not 18 years old anymore. I'm not 19, but I might have the heart of one. I don't know. But I still know those things that can still allure us. Those seeds that have been sown that can sprout. In our home community, we've had a very much of a growing year this year. And you know what happens when you got soil and there's a lot of weeds in there. I wonder how many of you sisters have any idea. Do you have more than 100 weed seeds in your garden or not? Go home and count them and email me how many you had then. You aren't sure how many are there. Why? Because you can't see them. But it's interesting, this year with the temperature being right, the moisture being right, those weed seeds have laid there probably for years dormant. But the environment was right, and what happened? We never seen the weed seed. Out of it are the issues of life. All of a sudden there's something that sprouts. There's various ways you can pull weeds. It's whichever way you want to do it, naturally speaking. You can go out with a hoe and take them out when they're really small. Or you can pull them when they get a little bit bigger. Or you can wait till you don't have to bend over and just take a hole and pull the top off. And you can't figure out why the weed didn't die. That's a beautiful type of what happens when people don't keep their spiritual life weeded out. When the flesh is always there, we're still living in the flesh and its affections and its lusts. But thanks be to God for the strength that we can have. We don't have to live in sin. We dare not let sin rule in our moral body. James 1 verse 13 through 15 says that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, and then going just jumping through it. But when sin has conceived, when lust is finished, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And it's speaking about an eternal damnation outside of Jesus Christ forever. Sin. Lust is inquisitiveness, lack of self-discipline, lack of conviction, casual attitude toward true discipleship. After all, why does the church require what they do? Why does the Bible be so narrow-minded? Why can't I look like the world, act like the world, and smell like the world, and claim I'm a Christian? Because God's people have been called out, and we are to be a separate people. We have something to live for. We have something that's worth dying for. What about the entertainment that the world has out there? Why don't we involve ourselves in competitive sports? Why do we safeguard our computers? Because of the potential that is there. Probably most of you young people tonight have a cell phone. It's a small thing with a lot of potential. Just this past week, there's someone who done some wrong. I don't forget what he committed. But he was evading the policeman. The police make a simple phone call. They locate his cell phone and they find him. Well, I think he was probably surprised. That's fine. Well, let me tell you something, dear youth, this evening. Every cell phone is recorded. Every message that you speak is recorded. Every conversation you have is recorded, I should say. Every text you send is recorded. Every photo you send is recorded. Much higher than the cell phone tower. God has record of it. Now, naturally speaking, if I have it right, every text, every photo you send actually is recorded in the tower. The authorities can pull it up. But we're not worrying about our... We appreciate our civil authorities. But this evening, we're looking at what God has recorded. Does it matter what you do for an occupation? Does my job, does your job put you in a position that causes temptation to come your way? Your surroundings, your environment is going to influence you. It's like the crow that was out there with a bunch of starlings. And the farmer shot out there to get the starlings as pests. And he hit the crow and he wounded him. And the crow says, "Bad company, bad company, bad company." That's how too many people get wounded in their spiritual life. Because of bad company. The world has a lot of things to offer with just enough religion work mixed into it to make it appealing to the Christian and yet not feed your spiritual life. Think that through, dear youth, for all of us. Think that through. That's why it's important what type of music you have. That's why it's important what kind of books you read. That's why it's important how much time you spend on your computer. How much time you spend on your cell phone. Whatever you may put in there. Remember, Hebrews speaks of pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father as this. There's a lot of religions out there, but there's only one true God. Let's be faithful. There's a lot of things in life that may not be right or wrong in themselves, but the overindulgence, and if I come back, may come back again to that simple little cell phone. I believe it's a useful tool. I believe it's something we can use, but you need to control it. Don't let it control you. Time management. Unbalanced desires can cause you to go astray. Those are where the issues of life are coming in. If you would be going down the road in the dark, and I would offer you an apple. You're hungry, and I offer you an apple. You start eating the apple, and I say, "Oh, by the way, don't worry about it. That apple had a little worm in it somewhere. I'm not sure where it is, but it's just a little one. Don't worry about it." You probably would just keep right on eating, right? No problem. Because after all, it's just a little worm. And who's going to know if you ate him? He may be gone by that time. Do you get the object lesson I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters? There is too many people trying to walk the Christian pathway and are not spending enough time on the quality of food that they're eating. I got a water bottle here this evening, and as far as I know, it's pure water. If you put one little bug in there, my thirst would be gone. Why? Because I don't like drinking bugs. But spiritually speaking, be careful what goes into your mind. Because it's going to affect your eternal destiny. The Christian life has too many distractions that come our way with us willingly just traveling aimlessly through it. What are your aspirations this evening? I love to see youth who have a goal, who have an interest in spiritual things, who love to sing Christian music, who love to go to meetings, who love to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, is in school teaching, whatever it may be. The Lord bless you for it. But remember, we have an adversary, the devil, who is out there, and he knows if he can mar you in your youth, you can have scars for life, even though you can receive forgiveness. But I'm here to tell you this evening, if you're struggling in this life, if you feel that you're in bondage to the devil and his works, don't wait another day. Don't spend another night with the frogs. Jesus is there to help you. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to cleanse your heart and make you free of all those things. And yet, Satan, I have said different times, it seems Satan makes the youth think, you got lots of time. Don't be so serious about life. You got a lot of time on you. And then when they come to the sunset years of life, he says, you've been too bad too long. You can't change now. I'm here to tell you, the God I serve is in the forgiving business. That's the only reason that I can be a child of God. It's not because of who I am. It's because what God is doing, and he is still working in the hearts and lives of men today. Many know what the Bible says, but blessed is he that doeth. What would you give in exchange for peace with God? Age brings wisdom. Zeal without wisdom can be an engine, like an engine without a governor. If anybody works with an engine knows that a governor on an engine, if you don't have one, your engine is just about worthless. It'll start, it'll, for a real short span of time, will run fine. But it keeps on going and going and makes a lot of racket with no power, and all of a sudden it's quiet. It's over. But as we, in our churches today, we need youth. We need old people. We need wisdom. We need zeal. And you blend them together, and what do you have? You have the church of Jesus Christ. That's what he's coming back for someday. If I had the opportunity to say a final word to all young people, it would be this: to love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Do not think too much about yourself. Try to cultivate the habit of thinking of others. This will reward you. Nourish your minds by good reading. Discern what your life work is. Work in which you enjoy. Be unafraid to do what you know is right. Be unselfish. That is the first and final commandment for those who would be useful and happy in life. In closing, let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. While you're turning to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, makes me think of a song. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus is now. Trusting that is your prayer this evening. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light of the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Going down to verse 13 and 14. Well, let's just stop here. Verse 1, Solomon is saying, remember now thy Creator in the days of the youth. What is he saying? Right now. You're young. Do it now. Going down to 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There is a day coming when all inventory is going to be turned in. Are you ready? Are you looking forward to that day? I trust you are. If not, remember, God's word is the roadmap through this life and the roadmap to glory. May the Lord bless you and keep you, dear youth.